I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And if it's Monday, it must be orientation day. Today, more than 100 incoming House and Senate freshmen are learning the ropes on Capitol Hill. Tomorrow, the Senate will elect party leaders, presumably Harry Reid for the Democrats, Mitch McConnell for the Republicans. Wednesday, the House elections take place, John Boehner, the expected Republican leader. And on the Democratic side, well, that could get interesting. Then, of course, the lame duck Congress gets down to unfinished business, including the budget, extending unemployment benefits, and perhaps extending the Bush tax cuts. On Meet the Press yesterday, Obama advisor David Axelrod signaled the White House might compromise, extending the cuts for the middle class permanently, but also temporarily extending cuts for the wealthiest Americans, something the president had opposed.
We want to get this done. The American people expect to get this done, and we are eager to sit down and talk about how to move forward.
Rick Klein is senior Washington editor for ABC World News, host of Top Line, ABC's political webcast. So, Rick, is a tax cut deal in the works?
It is. The White House has signaled that they want something to get done. They realize that the votes are difficult to cobble together without Republicans on board. So it does look likely that there'll be some kind of a temporary extension of all the Bush tax cuts. Liberals are not happy about this. They remember that President Obama ran on a campaign to allow the tax cuts for wealthy Americans to expire. He, though, is looking at the political realities after the election last week and is thinking it's a critical time to come to the middle and to find a compromise with Republicans.
Well, but only 40% of Americans polled wanted to extend the cuts to the very rich. Frank Rich, this week in the Times, quotes economist Dean Baker, who says the savings from the cut for people making between $200,000 and $500,000 was only about $700. That's not enough if you're one of the few small businesses who make that much money to hire anybody. So it's not about jobs. But it sounds like you're saying the Obama White House didn't have the stomach for this fight.
That's right. And they're being urged by some, including Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, to just raise that limit and say, let's give everyone a tax break up to maybe $1 million of income. But again, Republicans are so dug in on this, and they feel emboldened by the election results from earlier this month. And they feel like they hold more cards right now than Democrats, and they may be right. Democrats have enough votes to get something done, but they haven't been able to so far.
Well, just quick last question on this. I mean, the thinking there was that would really, you know, call the Republicans out, show that these are just the veriest wealthy Americans if you raise it to $1 million. But even that
seems to be like a non-starter, because mm-hmm. Republicans won't go along with it, and there are enough moderate Democrats who are concerned about any tax increase in a time of economic instability.
Well, and if they extend the tax cuts for the wealthiest, won't lawmakers also have to vote to extend unemployment benefits that expire this month? And won't that irk Tea Partiers who want to cut spending?
That's right. But the Tea Partiers, most of the newly elected ones, actually don't take office until next month. They're here for orientation now, but they'll make a lot of noise about it, but there's not much they can do other than stand on the sidelines.
Yeah, but the Tea Partiers on the sidelines, like with the Tea Party Patriots, have been flexing their muscles. This past weekend, they sent out a memo to incoming freshman lawmakers telling them which orientation events to attend. That irked some of the incoming lawmakers, especially when the Tea Partiers urge their followers to blast those lawmakers with emails if they didn't attend the right event. The group has since backtracked, but what does that say to you about how much muscle they think they have to flex?
They are coming in with an unprecedented amount of real political capital and an even larger amount of perceived political capital. They are emboldened by the election results. They feel like they've got the wind of the will of the people at their backs, and they're not going to be very easy to manage. And I think this is just one small example. Another thing this week, there'll be some major votes on earmark reform. Earmarks are something that both parties use, but even some Republicans, senior Republicans like Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, want to continue the practice. However, President Obama is now joining the Tea Partiers. They want to find ways that they can peel off some Republicans and start to pit them against each other.
Well, there's a laundry list, though, of unfinished legislation that the lame duck Congress has to attend to. I mentioned the budget, unemployment benefits, there's cuts in doctors' Medicare reimbursements have to be dealt with, a repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's in a defense spending measure. How do you see this lame duck Congress going?
Not so lame, I think, is the easy way to describe it. There's a bunch of big things they have to do. So a lot of things have to happen, and it's a unique political environment, because so many of the folks who are going to be voting are coming back. A lot of the folks who are coming back are going to be worried about their political futures and what that holds. A lot of things that Democrats need to get done under the wire here before Republicans take control of the House.
Well, then that brings us to Nancy Pelosi, right now House Speaker. But as we well know, Democrats, blue dogs like Heath Shuler, the more conservative Democrats, actually campaigned and feel that they kept their offices because they campaigned against Nancy Pelosi. She did some maneuvers over the weekend to maybe bring more leadership positions onto the Democratic side, but what's the sense of whether or not she's going to hold on to the leadership of now the minority party after the voting on Wednesday?
She's got the votes by all indications. The irony is that the folks who are most disaffected with Pelosi's leadership lost. Yeah. One wrinkle is that Congressman Heath Shuler, who's one of these moderate Democrats from North Carolina, has said he's going to run against her. Now, it's an odd sort of challenge because he says at the outset he's not going to have the votes, but he wants to be a vehicle for members who are upset with Pelosi's leadership, think that maybe the Democrats have gone too far liberal direction to have a protest and to be able to say we voted for someone other than Nancy Pelosi. There's a lot of frustration, even among liberal Democrats, that Democrats, after this big shellacking, are coming back and putting the same leadership in place in the House that just lost them so many seats.
Well, she was the face of the party. People campaigned against her. And she also stands for the liberal arm of the party. But, you know, we're also hearing from listeners. Here's a comment from Tyler Alvary, who says, I'm tired of hearing about Speaker Nancy Pelosi's defeats in regards to her decision to maintain her position as a Democratic leader. And I'm going to paraphrase here. Tyler says that the Congress made these great strides, college lending reform, financial regulation, economic stimulus, a health care law that in historic terms is the accomplishment of a generation. This is the way some Democrats see Nancy Pelosi.
That's right, and that's one reason that there's such sentiment for her to return among her colleagues. It was interesting is there may be a majority of Democrats. I know there's a majority of Democrats that want her back. There's probably also a silent majority of Democrats who want her to step aside and give a chance for new leadership, not as a statement on her, but to recognize the fact that for whatever reason, all those gains that Democrats were able to achieve in 2006 and 2008 were wiped out in just one night.
Yeah, and Rick Klein, just briefly, not very good news for Democrats this morning. The ethics panel denied New York Democrat Charles Rangel's request for a delay in the start of his ethics trial. It's underway. He's accused of 13 ethics violations, including making improper financial solicitations, failing to pay some taxes. Is this a sign of future investigations in the new Congress?
Well, an extraordinary scene this morning because Mr. Rangel asked for a delay and said he hadn't had a chance to put his legal defense team on, and then the committee said, no such luck, we're going to go ahead with this anyway. I do think this new Congress is going to be more aggressive in investigating ethical woes. This, though, I know, is more of a holdover from the last Congress.
Rick Klein, senior Washington editor for ABC World News, host of Top Line, ABC's political webcast, setting the table for this busy week ahead. Rick, thank you.
Thank you.